in kind of epic in epic lives that inspire us, and we're going to be in this for 6 weeks, and we're going to probably talk about some people maybe that wouldn't immediately come to mind as an epic life in Scripture and in the narrative that shapes us. But this week I've been studying all about Sarah and who Sarah is, or Sarai, and just all that is involved there. And to be honest with you, this morning, as I thought about beginning the sermon and opening the Scriptures, I tried to think of a narrative to kind of supplement the narrative of Sarah's life. And I came to the conclusion that that's really not necessary, because her life is really inspiring and epic. And so this morning, I want us to start by just concentrating on a key event in the life of Sarah. So guys, that should be the next slide. I want us to read together. I do want to encourage you to do this before I read. Sarah's life spans the days that she's on earth and living span chapters 15 to 23 of the book of Genesis. And that's incredible reading. So I want to encourage you that even as we're talking about this here this morning, I really challenge you, especially as you hear things and you go, man, that sounds incredible. There's probably a lot more there that Joshua didn't have time to unpack. Go home and crack open your Bibles this week and turn to the book of Genesis in chapters 15 through 23 and read about this incredible woman of faith, this incredible, inspiring life. This morning, I want us to read from Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 19, just as one of those central aspects of Sarah's life, a defining moment. So here we go. This is the word of the Lord from chapter 17, starting verse 15. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." And God said, "No, but your wife Sarah shall bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." It's incredible. Word of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, help us this morning. Sometimes I think we really want to look at a story, and we want to be able to wrap it up with a nice bow and say, this is the point. Sometimes a story in its entirety just shapes us without bullet point conclusions or lists of moral outcomes. Sometimes to witness another person's journey with you is powerful. So God, this morning, make us good witnesses of the life of Sarah, and shape us according to who she is as she journeys with you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Sarai, the name Sarai literally means princess or princely. With the connotation of royalty, royal blood, high esteem and value. She's a woman from Ur of the Chaldees, or Chaldeans, which at the time, Ur would have been a good booming city. It would have been a place that people knew about in Mesopotamia, a place that had a lot of culture, a place that had a lot of prosperity, a lot of wealth, a place that was known especially religiously for all the different things that were worshipped and all the different gods that people bowed down and gave their lives to. Sarai was from this city, and the day comes that her husband says to her, "I've received the word of the Lord, and it's telling me that we will be blessed, and through us all the peoples of the earth will be blessed, but we must go." And Sarah makes the decision to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, a place where she is in her own right, most likely a woman of esteem, a woman with royal blood, or at least someone known to be of princess quality or princely. And this is who Sarah is. This is her identity as one from Ur of the Chaldeans. And in her life, at already an elderly age, Sarai, who has grown up and she's already in many ways found her footing king and established her ground in the identity of the princess, the princely woman from the Ur of Chaldees. At an elderly time in her life, God says, go, and Sarai says, yes. And so this incredible woman of faith turns her back on all that has previously defined her, turns her back on a space that has previously been her space and her place, turns her back on everything that was and begins to move forward. And this is incredible. I can't imagine the ridicule, the raised eyebrows, the questioning, the issues that people would have had as they said to Sarai, you will never in your life get to a place where it's better. You will never be defined as anything. You will never see an accomplishment. You will never journey in a place where you will overdo the greatness of being Sarai of Ur of the Chaldeans. You have it good here. You have a great home. You have a great name. You have a great space. You have a great definition for your life. How could you possibly? We have plenty of gods here. We have plenty of things here to define you. Plenty of things here to shape your story. Plenty of things here to give you a purpose and meaning. How can you possibly think that by going out and journeying with really a question mark just based on faith in the plan of God for your life, how can you possibly do that? And I can't imagine Sarai's answer, but the most important answer was simply that she went. She went. This woman who has no children in a society where that's the most valuable thing for a woman, a woman who longs for a son, a child to call her own, leaves this place and begins to journey with Abraham. I was reading her life story this week, and I was reading about this Sarai and the incredible things that she went through. And it reminded me of some other stories in Scripture where, there's no waters being stilled, right? The sun is not standing still in the sky for Sarai. She's not seeing the heavens opened or anything like this. As a matter of fact, Sarai will leave Ur, and she will begin to journey. And one of the first things that happens is they come to a land where they have no power. Now they're on the other side of things, whereas she had been Sarai, the princely of Ur, of the Chaldeans. Now she finds herself in Egypt, and she's a beautiful woman. Even in her older age, she's known throughout history and Jewish tradition as being an incredibly beautiful woman of grace. And they get to the town of Egypt, and she is really cunningly passes herself off as Abraham's sister, which, by the way, she is a half-sister of Abraham, or Abram. And so she finds herself in Egypt, not even with her husband, trying to cunningly get herself out of a situation where she was the powerful, and now she's the powerless. And she has to get through that situation, and she does with cunning and guile. She makes it through that situation only to continue to lament and to grieve over the fact that she still doesn't have a child. And this God has said to her, I will bless you, and through you I will bless all the nations. The question mark rolling around in her head as she wonders, how can I bless anyone without children? How can I make a mark on history? Surely I'll never be anything that was greater than Sarai, the princess of the Ur of the Chaldeans. And her story continues. She hands her slave over to her husband, who ends up having a child. And so now Sarai has to watch as another woman enjoys the fruit of a child of her husband. Sarai's life is not an easy one. And as we read this story and we go through, we don't see any, it seems, epically marvelous episodes in which Sarai's being greatly delivered or in which everything seems to be going her way. When she's in Egypt, God rescues her, but it's not this lightning bolt kind of event. And even as Hagar, her slave, has a child named Ishmael for her husband Abram, her heart just shatters. And we can see this in her story. I can imagine Sarai in that position as she continues to journey, barren, without children, day after day, wondering and her hope being just worn and worn and worn as day after day she continues to be barren and wonder, what is God's promise going to look like? How am I to continue to journey in faith alone? And I can imagine that as her journey continued and there were no lightning blasts out of the sky and the stars didn't seem to be aligning and she continued to struggle, she probably began to wonder, will I indeed ever overcome Sarai of the Ur of Chaldees? Maybe the best lies behind me, as she continued to grow old. We come to a chapter 17 that we read earlier, where God gives this promise. And he says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless Sarah. Don't call her Sarah anymore. Call her Sarah. The name Sarah means princess, but the name Sarah means literally a ruler or a captain or a chief of peoples, kind of the apex, the source of a people, of a nation, the leader, the head. And he says, Abram, you will no longer be called Abram, but Abraham, and your wife Sarah, I don't want you to call her Sarah anymore. And you can't help but hear this. And you can imagine God saying, I no longer want you to define Sarah by what lies behind her. I no longer want you to define her by whatever she had found in that place in Ur of Chaldees, but I want you to look forward and believe in the promise that I'm giving, that I will bless her and through her bless all of the nations. And Abraham laughs. Abraham laughs because he's an old man. He laughs because Sarah is an old woman. It tells us that her time for having children was done with. She's barren. Abraham is not able to have any more children by her, and he laughs and he says, yeah, I know what you're saying, God. You'll bless Ishmael. And he says, no, I will bless your wife Sarah with a son. And I will establish my covenant forever with your people by that son that will be born to Sarah. Another episode happens, and I want you guys, you can put it up here on the screen, in chapter 18, when God approaches Sarah and Abraham again, and this time it's in the form of strangers who show up, and Sarah is showing them hospitality, though they are strangers, and teaching us as a people what it means to welcome the strangers who have nothing to offer you, but you give to them just because that's what it means to be someone following the promises of God. And one of these strangers says to Abram, I will surely return to you in due season. And your wife, Sarah, will have a son then. And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, oh, yes, you did laugh. I love this story because the promises to God are so incredible. They're so amazing that they seem ridiculous enough for laughter, to laugh at. And there's this whole play throughout the story of Sarah of laughter as Abraham laughs and Sarah laughs. And the child that will be born to Sarah will be a play on laughter. Because at first it seems that God's promises are laughable. Sarah's been through Egypt. She's been through Hagar. She's seen Ishmael born. She's been Sarai, the princess of the Ur of Chaldees. But surely there's nothing left for her. Surely it's the end. She's old, and everything that God could possibly do with her life surely lies behind her. She is done. She has nothing left to give. She has nothing left to hope for, it seems. And God continues to say to her, but Sarah, don't look back. Look forward to the thing that I will be doing. And Sarah laughs. And God says, is anything too incredible for me to do with your life? Anything too incredible? A few chapters after this, Sarah indeed gives birth to Isaac. I want to stop here because I think in our culture today, we really don't understand. We don't really value things the same way. So Sarah gives birth to a child, and we think about Sarah, and we go, oh, Sarah gets to be a mother. It's incredible. Sarah does get to be a mother. But it's more than just getting to be the mother of Isaac. Sarah becomes, I just want to describe this to you, Abraham and Sarah are Chaldeans, right? There is no, at this point, Jewish people or Hebrew people. With the birth of Isaac, Sarah becomes the mother of an entire race of people. She becomes the mother of the people of God, the nation that will be the means by which God will bless all the nations of the earth. Sarah's name, Sarah's blood, Sarah's faith, Sarah's story is why we read the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, because she stands as the pillar that has established the one who will be born, and his name will be Jesus. And all the way to Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament, the author will point her out and say, by faith this woman is the anchor, is the foundation, is the mother, is the ruler, is the chief of this people of God. She is the chief of the promises that I will bless you, and through you all the world will be blessed. And Sarah gives birth to Isaac, and she laughs. I don't know if you've ever laughed and cried at the same time. As I read this story, as I journeyed in Sarah's life, I can imagine her laughing and crying and looking over at Abraham and saying, Sarai of Ur of Chaldees journeyed in Egypt. The master of Hagar, the wife of Abram, the old woman born, she probably has Isaac when she's about 90 years old or something like this. And she laughs and she says, everyone who ever hears my story will laugh with me. Laugh at the fact that God has done the most incredible at the age of 90. Laugh at the fact that there was nothing that could undo God's promise to radically use Sarah for the good of the entire human race. Laugh at the fact that she, who had done nothing but be willing to journey into the wilderness and follow the promises of God, that she would be the mother of the chosen people of God. There's so much we can get out of this story. Sarah will give birth to Isaac, and Isaac will give birth, get married and give birth, and all this will go on. And I was telling our setup team this morning, I said, really, if you want to read the life of Sarah, you can read chapters 13 through or 15 through 23. But if you want to read the effects of Sarah and her faith and her willingness to continue to follow God, then you would have to read the entire book of the Bible, because Sarah's influence continues. She is the mother of God's chosen people. At 90. What is incredible to me about this story is that it would have been so easy for Sarai, to give up on the promises of God. It would have been so easy for Sarai to define herself not by the promise that God had given her, not by what God would do in the future through her faithfulness and her blessing, but define herself by what lay behind her. Listen, this morning, I think we do this a lot. I hear a lot of people say, I remember when. I hear a lot of people say, you know, I did incredible things then. This week, I just want to get really transparent with you. I've told people a lot, I will never do anything greater. God will never use me for anything greater in my life than being a part of a new church and planting a new church. And I believe that there's a lot to that. But I think it's important for us to realize that we should not be constantly defining ourselves by what lies behind us. Not constantly defining ourselves by the name that we've received from the world, but by the name we received from God. And the blessing that God intends for our lives to be, if we'll be willing. Sarah, the chief, the ruler, the mother, the captain of the people of God. We know her not as Sarai because that's not at the heart of her story. We know her as Sarah because she is the one who is blessed by the hand of God. She is the one who said, I'll not look back, I'll look forward. And she laughed at the incredible grace she received at the hands of the one who called her out, the one she followed. So this morning, I want to pray for us, and I want you to consider that. I want you to consider what lies behind you. I want you to consider what places, what gods, what influences might attempt to define who you are, to give you an identity, to give you a name, and how easy it is to look back and settle with what's been given rather than looking forward, opening our hands, hearing the call of God, and leaving our places of comfort for that call. And instead of looking back, looking forward to how God is able to incredibly bless us for the sake of others in our story. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning, we hear this story. And God, I just pray that we hear it and we receive from it what you would have us to. But Lord, this morning, what stands the most out to me is that it can be very easy for me to settle. It would have been very easy for Sarah to settle with Ur of the Chaldees. It would have been easy for her to settle with, I'm the princess here. It would have been easy for her to turn back and say, God called me out and I thought this would be an easy journey and I thought God would keep me from any harm, or I thought God would make sure that everything was simple and that there were no complications, and I thought God would work on my time frame. I was already old and tired of waiting. But maybe as important as anything is just the fact that Sarah never quit journeying in faith on the promise that you had given. God, I pray that you would fill us with the laughter of Sarah. I pray that we would look back and go, I can't believe that's where I was. I can't believe where I am now. And the name that God has given us. The place that God has called me to. May we recognize that whether we're young or we're old, when we think that the best lies behind us, when we think that we're all used up, when we think it's too late for us to give life to anyone, when we think it's too late for us to be a blessing or be used, may we remember Sarah, and may we be inspired to say yes and move forward with the identity that you call us into through the promise of blessing for the sake of blessing. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior.